Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Walking Dead fans, we are back for season 10, episode 1. We are very excited to be back. A crashing satellite. Our group is staying prepared after their last encounter with the Whisperers. We've got two groups, one at Oceanside, one at Alexandria. A forest fire forces our team to cross border lines. We've got our special segments. We've got our favorite kill segment, our MVP of the episode. We've got our top three. We've got a lot to talk about. Don't move a muscle.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's going on, Walking Dead fans? Welcome back to our show, The Walking Dead After Show. We are calling us The Honest Talking Dead. That is what we are doing this season. Season 10, episode 1, you guys. I'm very excited to be back with you all.
So excited.
Same.
Such a good episode. Everything all good.
Well, before we get into the episode, I'm joined by a beautiful panel. I've got Krista Flangey with me.
Hey, guys.
I've got April Wissentant over there.
Hey, everybody.
And Sir Benny Adams.
What's up, guys?
Guys, we are very, very excited to be back. We are very excited for everybody in the chat. April is in the chat right now. We're going to be giving some shout outs. We've got a lot to talk about, you guys. First off, like I said, we are very, very excited to be back. We just left Fear the Walking Dead. Those of you who don't watch it, check it out. But here we are talking The Walking Dead. I hope you all saw our preview episode, our pre-episode for this episode, where we talked about pretty much everything that we look forward to. What is going to happen on this episode, or for this season, rather. We've got a lot to talk about, so let's just dive right into it. I want to hear your overall thoughts of the episode.
So good. I truly, I was like, this is one of the best premiere episodes in a long, long time. Mm-hmm. The story was told in a way so different from, I think, any of the rest of The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. And I loved it, and I thought it was so well done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had high, high hopes for this premiere, and I was not disappointed whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Just literally everything the show offered was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree. I loved it, and now I'm super excited for the rest of the season.
I agree. Angela Kang, the showrunner, definitely pulled out all the stops for this premiere episode. I mean, it almost felt like a movie. Was I the only one? Especially with that opening
shot
of the satellite.
The opening scene was great.
I mean, there were so many things that we could just pinpoint, but it really felt like a movie. I mean, the acting was on point. The writing was on point. I mean, they can only go down from here, and I don't think they will, because after we heard of how the showrunners and the writers have treated this season so carefully, I don't think that they're going to be slowing down anytime soon. Mm-mm. So let's dive into it. Guys, don't forget, we also have our MVP of the episode. It's our special segment that we're doing at the end of the episode. We're going to pick our favorite character, who we thought deserves MVP of the episode. We've also got our favorite kill. We're keeping that from Fear the Walking Dead. Plus, we've got some news and gossip from Benny Adams over there. And we've got our predictions at the end of the episode, guys. We want to hear everything that you have to say, so stay tuned for all of that. So, who would have thought a crashing satellite would have caused so much commotion?
I mean, I would. I mean,
yeah, but I mean, I just thought that because it's the end of the world, like, who cares?
Mm-hmm. I guess you, like, forget that there's still stuff going on up there, you know, and then something like that falls out of the sky and you're like, oh, yeah, that was a thing prior to, now no one's around to warn us or, like, watch out for that.
Yeah. And you when have you thought about space?
Exactly.
They haven't thought about space probably since we were at the CDC or whatever way back in Atlanta. Like, it was just, I think maybe that's why I liked it so much, because it was so out of nowhere. Like, even when they were showing, I'm going to, you know, call myself a full idiot here. When they were showing the satellite at the beginning of the episode, I was like, oh, is this like something that they're trying to tell us about? Like, are they even bigger than we think they are?
Star Trek's the Walking Dead.
In space? Not them, but I was like, maybe something with Rick's group. Didn't put two and two together. Oh, wait, that looks pretty old. It's probably about to crash. I was shocked to say the least. But I mean, all the damage that it's doing makes me wonder, like, what's going to happen to Oceanside and that whole entire area.
Yeah. Never in a million years did I think they would go that route. Mm-hmm. And the way they tackled it was just very well written. Because you've seen shows before where they've tried to incorporate space into the show, mm-hmm. and it doesn't really work out that well. They did it perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the way that they used this satellite to kind of tie in all of the storylines throughout the episode, I thought was brilliant. And we're going to go through them one by one, starting with this opening scene on the beach called Training Day. You guys, I've never been so turned on in my entire life.
I loved that. Right? Yeah.
I got chills.
Right?
Yeah.
Literal chills.
I was sitting on my couch watching and I was like, I said out loud by myself, I was like, this is so good.
Yeah.
Something about it, I don't know what it was, like seeing Judith sliced, like just everybody, everything about it. And I was like, are they preparing for war against walkers, or are they preparing for war against alpha? Seems like a little of both.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that it is a little bit of both. I don't think that after what happened last time, they could totally forget about that. And I think it's good that they're preparing for anything, walkers or other groups. Now, April, we had said in our pre-episode mm-hmm. that we were looking forward to having it come right after what happened, mm-hmm. after we've seen our friends beheaded, after what Alpha's group did to our group, mm-hmm. and that's not the route that they took. They kind of did another time jump. Mm-hmm. I think it's like 2 years because RJ is all grown up.
Mm-hmm. It's gotta be only like a year-ish because of Rosita's baby. That's a pretty
good. Right. So, yeah, it's probably like a year, I'd say.
Year and a half max.
Because how pregnant was she when we left her?
Well, she wasn't even showing,
very,
I don't think.
Yeah.
Right. So that's like 9 months, maybe like a year and a half.
We'll get that.
Because her baby's, let's say, like 6 months.
Because this is the thing that we struggle with all the time, you guys. We never know how much time has passed. How old does RJ look?
He does look like he went through quite the growth.
That's
spurt.
Why I'm confused. Yeah.
He can talk. So I'm like five, probably. Yeah.
Oh, he can barely talk, though. How old was he before? I guess maybe let's say he's four.
True.
And he can barely talk. Yeah. But he is. I mean, he's like almost as tall as Judith. But, you know, like he had a growth spurt, whatever. But we have to base it, and I only know this because of what Angela King said, off of Rosita's baby. And that baby is looks to be about 6 months old.
Still a baby.
Old.
Yeah.
So let's say a year and a half-ish max,
that's
probably.
Fair. That's
that does
fair.
Seem fair.
Now, what I was surprised about was this mask that they find on the beach. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't realize that because we did time jump a year and a half, that Alpha's group would even still be around in mm-hmm. their vicinity. I thought, before I knew that they were still at Oceanside, that they had left. That they left everything. Because when we last saw them, like I said, they were like traveling through forests and mm-hmm. it was snowing. And mm-hmm. I thought that they went far away.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's kind of what the group thought also, which is why some of them wanted to be able to go past those marks that Alpha said you couldn't pass. Mm-hmm. And so I think some people thought, well, they're not around anymore, but some people wanted to be on the safe side and be like, you know what, you never know, they still might be around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting aspect of this group, especially looking at, you know, we see multiple people struggling with it throughout the night, but it's a different aspect. And mm-hmm. I think it's something that they're going to touch on a lot throughout the season, is them almost being scared.
Yeah.
Not that they are, not almost, they are scared. Not that they weren't scared of Negan, but that was a more direct threat. They knew what was happening.
You could see him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
They knew, okay, he's coming after us. If we don't get these supplies to him, whatever. They don't know what Alpha's doing, because technically she wanted Lydia, and then she was like, okay, never mind. Just don't come on my turf. But like, are they still there? So they live every single moment being like, what could happen?
Yeah, and you can definitely tell when they encounter groups of walkers, and they did it several times throughout the episode. They keep saying, watch their hands, mm-hmm. which I think is a brilliant way to kind of differentiate regular walkers from the Whisper group.
That's terrifying, though.
But
yeah.
I know, I agree. They're like walking on pins and needles every time they encounter a walking dead or a herd. And I think it's brilliant.
It
I
is. Mean, it's so good. It's like a whole new fear factor because, it's like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You got to kill the walkers, but they could also be Alpha's group.
So. Yeah. So because they find this mask, we obviously realize that the threat of the Whisper group is back. Mm-hmm. And we already see that there is two groups. We see that there's a group at Oceanside and then there's a group at Alexandria. Mm-hmm. Because Aaron walkies or radios over to Alexandria saying that they should lock it down. And Michonne thinks that, you know, they should just keep an eye out and not lead everybody to panic. Mm-hmm. What were your thoughts on that? Do you guys agree with Aaron, or did you guys agree with Michonne in this point?
I think there's a happy medium there. Mm-hmm. I think everyone should be vigilant, but I don't think there is enough fear or like enough warning to be like widespread panic.
Right.
So, and it's also like you don't want to tell like the children, because they don't, you know, I don't know. I feel like there's people that needed to know and everyone needed to be vigilant, but not like panicking.
Right. Right. It seems like you can't just not say something, because then, you know, but then again, I don't know, because aren't they always kind of on high alert? Maybe they've relaxed a little bit at this point. And when they relax is when things go bad, obviously. Mm-hmm. But then I'm like, what if it's just, we know it's not, but what if it was just a random mask that washed up from forever ago, and now you've caused widespread pandemonium.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you're exactly right. There has to be some sort of in-between of notifying people without causing major alarm. Mm-hmm. But then there's always the question of what happens? Like, why are we doing this? Why are we even a little amped up? So I don't really know.
I agree with Michonne 100%. Yeah. Stay safe.
Yeah.
Like they've been safe for all these years since the last season, you know. Mm-hmm. Why go into the unknown and possibly get into that danger again, you know?
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
I think what the show did a good job of doing was that they kept this threat alive for us, the viewers, because we could have easily forgotten, and especially at the time jump being a year and a half, or so we think, we could have easily been like, oh, the whispers really aren't that scary anymore. Like, it's time has passed. They haven't really done anything for our group.
Yeah,
but they are keeping it alive, and they are keeping this, I don't want to say level of paranoia, but this level of caution toward this whisper group, which just puts more fear out there for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, we have our group. They want to go and find the whispers to see if they're even around or if it is just a mask that has washed up. And they come across the bridge. Aaron and Michonne have gotten really close, apparently, which I really enjoyed. I like that he is her right hand.
Same.
That's what it seemed like,
Yeah. And they have several conversations. One after this bridge scene. And the only reason I bring this up is because it had a really, really prevalent theme of Rick, obviously. And Michonne is quick to mention that. And I kind of felt for her. And that's another thing they're keeping alive in this show, is not just the threat of, you know, the whisper group, but also Rick's memory and how hard his loss is on Michonne.
We would be, you know, probably up in arms if there were episodes where Rick wasn't mentioned.
Yeah.
And especially the two of them standing there on a bridge and doing all this stuff. But I love that moment between them, because, A, you have to, you know, like Aaron says, he's tired of being the nice guy. You know, he wants to do this. But Michonne's like, but for what?
Yeah.
All of these people died and you're over here. Like, if he hadn't have gotten his arm chopped off last season, he would have been bitten multiple times at this point. I think that's the second or third time at least that I've seen him get bit in that arm. And obviously he uses it as a defense, but...
Yeah.
Which is a good idea.
Yeah, it is. But I like this side that I'm seeing of him. I like a, you know, slightly more aggressive Aaron. And almost like we need somebody at this point who wants revenge.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, we're missing that from our people. They're all just like, okay, let's just live. Let's stay safe, because that's what they've been fighting for so long. But he's like, I'm tired of doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what's going to happen.
Well, that's kind of what I want to talk about next with Aaron, is that, you know, we see from the get-go that he is battling between what they're doing and what they stand for. And, you know, it's just this inner battle with Aaron, and which is why he asked Michonne, you know, are we the good guys? Because, you know, they go out and they essentially do kill people, but it's people who are a threat to them.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that Aaron is on the right track with his aggression, because, I mean, he sits there and says, you know, Eric is dead, Jesus is dead. Like, we've lost all of these people, and I'm fed up with being the nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I completely agree with him. I think that he's right. I think that now with this threat of the whispers, there is no room for being nice.
Yeah, especially when it comes to the whispers.
Right.
So it makes complete sense.
He just needs to be smart about it, though. Like, I agree with what he wants to do, but he needs to thoroughly seek out a plan so he won't get himself killed.
He was acting very emotionally tonight, and it's like that could get you in trouble too. So it's it's nice to see Michonne there too, and they kind of challenge each other.
He was definitely acting on impulse. I mean, like April said, he almost got bit on the bridge.
He was not
on his leg and on his arm. Like, it was.
I thought he was done for, actually. When he was his leg, I was like clenching. I'm like, oh, here we
this
go.
Is it. All He's right. gone.
That was really close. So after they find confirmation, you know, Magna, Yumiko, Alden, Luke, they all find, you know, that there are whisperers around. Mm-hmm. They go back to Oceanside, and this is when we see Judith and RJ together. And this was a really endearing moment because we obviously love Judith. We haven't really got to know RJ because he was just like a child when we left.
But
he still is.
Yeah.
And he talks now. And she's pretty much telling him, and this is once again this theme of, you know, keeping Rick's memory alive. And she's telling him this story about their dad and how, you know, he's the brave man. And, you know, Michonne comes over and she goes, he asks her, why did the brave man die? And she has this amazing answer. She's like, there's some people that you love so much that you would do anything for. Am I the only one who thought that that was foreshadowing?
It 100% is.
Right?
Yeah.
That she's going to have to sacrifice herself for her children?
Something's, because well, we know we don't have her.
Jeez.
Oh, that would make me so sad.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, okay.
Because she was like, I'll do it for you, and I'd do it for Judith. And I was like, there it is.
She's saying, I'll do it. This is the thing about this scene. I think if there was a single person not absolutely touched by this, then you need to, my heart needs to be melted. But I think that they are giving us more RJ for a reason. Like y'all said, we didn't really get to know him last season, but now it's like, okay, if we see, you know, we know Judith, but we also know Judith as a very strong person who also very much so relies on other people like Negan. Would Judith really be, obviously Michonne's her mom and she would be devastated, but like, she might be okay.
Yeah.
But showing us this, showing us RJ, giving us more of him, and he's a direct connection between Rick and Michonne, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's just a way for them to be like, oh, guess what? We're taking the mother from this kid, too.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I just love how we're seeing both Judith and RJ talk about Rick, because Judith was a toddler when Rick died. RJ wasn't even born yet. So it's cool that even though they don't really remember him, they still have memories of him, if that makes sense. So I think that's really cool that they do that.
Yeah, and April, I definitely think you're onto something here. I mean, we've seen Carol lose two children now. And, you know, Michonne's already lost one. Don't forget, we have seen her lose a child from before the apocalypse started, or after it started. And now she has two, one not biological, but we're not counting that because it's essentially her mother.
Exactly.
So I wouldn't put it past the showrunners or the writers to be like, nope, snatching another one away, because they did it to Carol. So I would not be surprised. Before we get into what's going on over at Alexandria, I'm going to shoot it over to Benny for some words.
Yeah, so we here at AfterBuzz TV want to thank you guys for making us the ESPN of TV talk. And in order for us to grow even more, we need your help. So if you're on YouTube right now, go ahead and give us a thumbs up. If you're on iTunes, go ahead and give us a 5-star. Working at AfterBuzz means so much to us, and we just want to continue to learn and grow. So if you're watching or listening to us, go ahead and leave us a comment, and we will continue to give you guys amazing, good content.
Yeah. We love you guys. We are very, very excited to be back for The Walking Dead. We are very privileged to have to do this show. And, I mean, it's season 10. And we've already seen that they're coming to bring it. So, like I said, we are very excited to be here for you guys all season. And, like I said, we do the show for you guys. We want to hear all of your comments. April, what's going on in the chat?
You know, we got a lot of people watching. I'm compiling a list of comments as we speak currently.
I will touch base with you later, then.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, we see this satellite crashing through the atmosphere. Very dramatic. And that's when Eugene calls over the radio. Now, I didn't at this point didn't realize that they were in two separate groups. I thought everybody was at Oceanside, that they just didn't. I thought Alexandria was just lost. Like, they were like, oh, forget Alexandria, until Eugene called over. And then we see what's going on over at Alexandria. Essentially, Sadiq, Father Gabe, Eugene, and Rosita are playing house over there with the new baby. Am I the only one who's relieved that Rosita's not pregnant anymore and that she is getting back to her fighting self?
I didn't imagine them showing us her as, like, really, really pregnant, just because we've done it in the show.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I was curious to see how they were going to do it, but I'm happy that the baby's mm-hmm. just there because yeah. I think it actually brings a better element and we'll get to see more between, you know, that little quadruple couple yeah.
it's
dynamic.
So weird.
I don't know what you would call it.
Am I the only one who's weirded out by that?
I love it.
It's like an episode of Maury.
I think it's hilarious. I think it's so funny. She's living with three of the guys who have some type of romantic relationship
yeah.
with her. Well, except for Eugene just has a crush.
A major.
He was like yeah. peeping while she was breastfeeding. Oh! Yeah. I was like, what are you doing?
Guy. I love this guy.
But he's like, he's the one with the baby. And I'm like,
he was
you're
like
the
Mr.
one
Mom.
Kind of with no yeah. relation here. Like,
right.
Sadiq's the dad. Rosita's dating Gabriel. But like, you're the one measuring the baby and doing all this stuff. Like, where do you come into this? But
yeah.
I guess he's just put himself in there, and
yeah.
that's all that matters.
Yeah, I mean,
I still have hope for him.
I don't know. I don't get the girl. I don't like Rosita with any of these guys.
She just needs to be a
really?
Strong, independent woman.
Yes, I agree.
I want her to see her with Eugene so bad. So bad.
I don't
yeah.
know that I could take it. Like, seeing them make out, I might just be like,
yeah, no.
Know.
Abraham was the only man for her, and that's the only person I could see her with.
I know.
I don't know why.
And then he left her for Sasha. All R.I.P. Yeah.
I know, but she needs another, like, strong man like that to come in. Not saying that Eugene is... Eugene has his strong moments in other...
He's the brains of the operation.
Thank you.
We'll
thank you.
He has a strong yeah. brain.
Yes.
Yes.
Which
he's got baby scheduling down.
Exactly. Which doesn't surprise me why he's so invested in that part of the baby. Like, measuring the baby, got the sleep cycle down, got the feeding down.
Yes,
that's just
it.
Eugene. I mean, it's Eugene. It's what
yeah.
he would do. I want to talk about Lydia and Negan really quick because Lydia's learning how to read, which I thought was another really vital point to this because you can see that she's getting really discouraged with trying to learn how to read. I didn't even realize that she didn't know how to read because she was so young
yeah.
when the whole zombie apocalypse started.
Right.
You know, Alpha wasn't teaching her.
Exactly. She's like, you don't need to
yeah.
read. It's never been addressed, mm-hmm. but, you know, the kids who she's in the class with, I don't know how old they are, obviously, but they're significantly younger than
mm-hmm.
her. And when you are young like that, you pick up certain things faster. That's why
yep.
people start teaching, you know, kids different languages
yeah.
or, like, you grow up speaking different languages because you learn quicker, your brain forms faster. So what she feels like she should already know because they know, it's frustrating to
yeah.
her. But she also has to realize, like, okay, let's just make it happen.
Yeah.
Like, I know she's been dealing with it for a while, but, and maybe I'm still harboring a little anger toward Lydia.
Cool.
but I'm like, get over it. Just read, girl.
Yeah.
You'll
yeah.
be fine.
Yeah.
So not only is she frustrated with not being able to read or having trouble reading, but then, you know, our group comes in to talk about, you know, this looming threat of the Whisperers maybe being back, this meteor crash, well, which hasn't happened yet, my bad. And then they pretty much kick Lydia out of the room.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is when Negan comes into place, because apparently Negan's on community service detail.
Right.
He's, like, picking up trash. He's, like, doing vegetables.
I love
he's
it.
Being watched. I love it, too. At least he's out of the cell,
put him
you guys.
To work.
It steps
yeah.
forward.
Yeah.
And this is when the two of them bond, because, you know, once upon a time, he was the one that everybody was cutting their eye about.
Their kindred spirits.
Exactly. And now, she's the person who everybody is cautious around, and everybody doesn't really fully trust. I would think, after a year and a half, that wouldn't be the case. But once again, it's just a show kind of giving us this threat of, yeah, we might have had her in our vicinity for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
But once the Whisperers come back, it just puts all this back into play of, hey, you were one of them once.
Right.
And you're technically the reason that...
Ooh, yeah, that's
yeah.
it.
I mean, it's not her fault,
right.
but she's the justification behind
yes.
it.
She's the reason why they're all
yeah.
living in fear and why they have been doing so for so long. Like,
yes.
she's... I mean, they didn't directly address this in the episode, but she's the reason technically why Carol is out on a boat, because
mm-hmm.
Carol can't be around her. And it's just, I get it. I do feel bad for her in the sense because, you know, she said they accepted her.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, you know, it's like accepting an ex-boyfriend back. You either get
yeah.
over it
yeah.
and move on. Or you leave them.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
they clearly weren't going to leave her. They fought for her.
Then you
so
accept
like,
it.
You,
yeah.
At some, I know it's not going to be easy, but like, come on, people.
Yeah.
yeah.
You got to be a little nicer. But I also get why they kicked her out, because she's just too young. Like,
yeah.
let's be real. Maybe other people, like, we have to look at Carl. He's probably younger than she was, but like, Carl's different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. And I feel bad for her, but at the same time, I 100% get it. They have to be cautious. They've gone through the main group. They've gone through so much in their lives with people overtaking where they live and death, destruction. So they're not taking any chances when it comes to this girl. So I completely get it.
Yeah. I want to talk about Sadiq really quick, because not only is he playing House, but he's also dealing with some PTSD, which major PTSD, to the point where he can't even hear his own baby crying. Or
he shouldn't be holding
crying.
The baby, yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that storyline for Sadiq, but then they also introduce another doctor. His name is Dante.
Yeah, who
and
is he?
Right, I was like, okay, new characters. Yeah, I'm about introducing new characters. Yeah. I really am, especially in season 10. I want to see what's going to happen. But do you guys think it's once again just foreshadowing that there's two doctors? Are they going to need two? Are they
gonna get rid of one? They're always going to need two.
Of course, we could use three.
Exactly, but. It was such an odd character introduction, though.
Yes.
Just the whole dynamic, I was like, wait, are you his friend? And then the whole thing about, like, oh, my, kiss me.
Yeah,
I was like, wait, I don't know if I should think this is funny or what.
Agreed.
It was definitely an odd introduction, but I also love the story for Sadiq, because I think it's one that he, you know, I forgot until that happened. I was like, wait, what's happening to him? Is he having visions? I thought that also.
I'm not gonna lie, I thought that.
I was like, he's having a vision that, like, because all he saw was Alpha's head. But then I remembered, like, no, he was there.
Yeah.
He lived when everyone life. Was
yeah.
killed. Like,
yeah.
they tied him to a tree so he could give the message to everybody.
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
Right. But I don't think he, or it doesn't seem like anyway that he's dealt with this in any way.
No, and don't forget it. Like I said, it's been a year and a half. Yeah. So it's like they have two doctors, but they don't really have a psychologist.
No. Yeah. So, going to need to get one.
Yeah, get one really quick, or talk to a tree. Start painting trees like Alicia did after The Walking Dead. Right. Do something to cope.
Get a hobby. Meditate.
I think Negan needs people to talk to. He can go talk to
it's
Negan.
True.
Negan is pretty much like the psychologist, because he pretty much reads people very well. I'm just
Negan
saying.
Would twist him around in some way, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think Negan is missing his calling, you guys.
He is.
So we see once again the meteor crashing. Once again, this is just their way of tying all of the storylines together. Mm-hmm. And that's when Eugene calls Oceanside. So we see that call happening. Now they switch over to what's happening at the beach. Mm-hmm. And we see Kelly and Connie. Connie being one of my favorite characters.
I love,
love Connie.
What I didn't understand in this scene was that they're calling for Kelly. She can't really hear. And then we find out that she might be going deaf too. So is it a degenerative disease that they both have?
It might be.
Maybe.
We didn't really address it in the past that it was a potential issue for her too, unless I missed that.
No, we didn't. Okay. I can't recall ever even talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
But like she says, and I believe her when she says her hearing is fine. But then she's like, there are other things. Like I don't know if someone's talking to me. It went, you know, I hear lots of voices at
like
one
something's
time.
Something's going on, yeah.
So whether it's her actual direct hearing going or not, mm-hmm. like, it's still something.
Yeah.
And I just really like how it seems like the roles are going to be reversed when it comes to the two. Because before it was Kelly helping out Connie. Now it's going to be Connie trying to show Kelly the way of just how to live with this.
Yeah. I think that, you know, Kelly has some idea of how to live with it, because she has been pretty much not protecting, because we obviously know Connie can take care of herself, but essentially being the ears for Connie in this world. And if, you know, Connie goes deaf, and she says it in this scene, she goes, how am I supposed to interpret for you? How am I supposed to protect you? Mm-hmm. And, you know, she goes, we protect each other. That's
which I love
that too. I mean, they're just like I said, Connie's one of my favorite characters. Kelly still has yet to grow on me, but I think this storyline could do it.
I like them together a lot. I love that, what's going on with them.
Yeah. And even further than that, we see Daryl's been working on his sign language too, which I thought was a really nice moment.
I love them.
I sure have.
Right? I love them too.
I officially am on Daryl and Connie's team. What did we call them?
Daryl needs something.
Donnie? Carol? Oh, no, we can't call him Carol.
That would be weird.
Yeah.
Speaking of Carol, though, she comes back on a boat because this is how she's dealt with her emotional trauma from losing Henry. A life at sea, which doesn't surprise me. I actually liked this storyline for her that she went out. They kind of give a little Easter egg about where Maggie might have been. She's been down south trying to maybe find Maggie. Uh-huh. I liked that they included that a little bit. And then we see, you know, Daryl and Carol reunited, which I thought was a really nice moment.
Ooh, loved the scene between the two of them. And Angela Kang said we're going to get, this is not a spoiler alert, by the way, but she said we're going to get a lot of Daryl and Carol good good scenes. Yes. Yeah. I feel like we haven't gotten a scene like we did tonight in so long, which I was like, is this why I loved the episode so much? Mm. Because just them, the two of them on screen for 5 minutes, I was like, this is amazing. Yeah. And the interaction, and obviously like the bracelets and him calling her best friend, mm-hmm. I was like, even they're finally addressing it as a show. They're not just like teasing us. They had the flirtatious moment with Connie and Daryl on the dock and how he's learning sign language for her. But then like they have this moment where she's like, oh, best friend.
Yeah.
Should we run away together?
Yeah.
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 I love their dynamic.
Right. And I love that they're best friends. And we all knew here, sorry guys who didn't know, but we knew that there was no really love story in there. We just never saw it.
Maybe
like
in
that.
The beginning, like way, way back, like season one, maybe, but now there's no chance. Like I just don't see it whatsoever.
Like brother, sister, almost.
Yeah. I agree with you. And they do talk about this whole running away together. And we already knew from the beginning of the episode that Carol is not staying for very long.
Right.
And there was this ongoing thing of Daryl trying to convince her to stay. And we have this moment with them where they're hunting deer and a deer wanders into Whisper territory, which once again, still surprised that they're that close to Whisper territory, but here we are. And Daryl pretty much points out, you know, he wants to respect the boundaries. He wants to respect these borders. And Carol does not give two F's about this. She's like, you know what? I don't care. That deer could have fed us. I'm surprised
it's
you let
right
it get
there.
It. It's right there. Did you guys agree with Daryl or did you agree with Carol in this moment?
See, in this moment, that deer was just, it was right there. I was like, I see what she's saying, but I get, they're like all on edge. No one wants to, that's what they establish. You don't cross the borders.
Yeah.
But again, it's been a year and a half. You just shot a deer that you can't eat now.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know.
I mean,
I don't know.
They don't know at this point that Michonne and everybody in the woods have just found like this camp with a skinned man and things like
that.
So I agree. I was like, you know what's going to happen if you take this deer? Nothing.
Drag
either
him
those walker, exactly. Like get a long stick. I don't know. Pull him over.
I don't know.
Do a little lasso action. Right. I don't know.
But Carol also, I think it's because, just like you said, she's not there. So the threat is very real for everybody else. Not that it's now it is for her. But I think that that's just not in her mind. She just sees, oh my gosh, how did we just give this up?
But do you think it's because she hasn't been there, or it's really because she subconsciously has this vendetta against
that
these
one.
Whispers?
She has a vendetta.
And she does not care. Yeah. She's waiting to ignite something because she
wants
her
fight.
Revenge.
This is very personal for
Carol.
Yeah.
Like,
and it should be.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with both. I agree with everybody. Yeah. I mean, we'll talk about it at the end of the episode because that moment was intense, but we'll talk about it. So then they see once again the satellite crashing, and now we have this new threat of, hey, the satellite crashed in the woods. Now there's this fire, and there's this another threat toward Oceanside because they're camping in the middle of the woods, and this fire could essentially reach them and destroy their entire camp.
Right.
So they have to work in order to put this fire out by using sand and water, which I thought was actually really smart because don't use all your water. Use seawater and use sand.
Right.
Clearly
mm-hmm.
you're by a beach. Mm-hmm. Like that was a very smart move on their part.
Or blood from Carol.
I loved that part.
How smart was that?
Was insane. Carol came back and she was like, I still got it.
I got it.
So what I didn't realize was that, you know, now that the satellite crashed, that they could actually use it for maybe technology reasons or anything like that. Of course, once Alexandria comes onto the scene, Eugene wants to examine the entire thing. And Michonne was just dead set on, we have to go. We're already in enemy territory. We need to leave because we've already...
Oh, so that made a loud boom.
Yes. And then the walkers that it attracted, I wasn't surprised by. Were you guys?
No. Like, that was quite the commotion.
I'm surprised by whether or not it's a part of the giant herd, or you know, like they talk about, they call it the nuclear weapon. I want to know if it was part of it or not, because that was obviously a very big herd that we saw.
Yeah,
I don't think it was.
Yeah, I don't think so either, because we didn't see any whisperers involved.
Because they're
in
hoarding them still,
right?
As far as we know.
True.
Was I the only one who thought when Carol slit the throat of that walker to put out the
that
fire
it'd be a
that it was a human? Because that was a lot of blood, and
I thought it was
still
a human.
like, well, weird about how these walkers have so much blood in them when...
Well, some do and some don't. Like, maybe we've seen them, like, cover themselves. Yeah. And maybe if it's a new one. But the way that it, like, just geysered out, I was like, that's a human.
That's what I thought, too.
But I guess not.
Well,
but I guess not.
I thought some of the walkers that were, when we first saw them all coming, I thought some of them were a whisper. Yeah,
because we were in their territory, technically. So it's like, I was... concerned at first.
Well, what I also liked about that is that Aaron and Michonne have a moment where they kind of point out, you know, Aaron says, you know, us stopping this fire helped them too, because they essentially live in the woods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so this could have been really dangerous for them as well. So
it was on their side.
Right. Yeah. And we really just essentially helped them.
We did.
Which I thought was
saved
a good...
saved our butts which and I thought helped
was,
them. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a good point. And then Michonne questions where Aaron, Daryl and Carol are. And we have this moment with them on the edge of the cliff where, you know, once again, Daryl is trying to get Carol to stay with him. Mm-hmm. And otherwise, he'll punch holes in all the boats, which I thought was a really
good
idea.
Yeah.
And this is when we see Carol and Alpha have this kind of standoff moment where they're staring down each other.
So I wouldn't want that to been anyone but Carol to see her for the first time. It was so good.
Yeah.
She was like, I got you. Just watch.
Yeah.
Just give me some time. Just give me some time.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what that was. Now, do you guys think that it was a little ballsy of Carol to just stand there on the rock face because... at this point, Alpha and the Whisper Group didn't know that they had crossed into borderline territories. And as soon as Alpha saw Carol, she knew that they had crossed into their land. Do you think that
Daryl
this is
and
what...
Carol in their land?
I think so, because they were by where the satellite crashed, and that was where... Yeah.
I thought that was the edge.
They're still living
at Oceanside,
though.
I think that's the edge
though.
Of the... I thought they were still on their turf, because he wouldn't even go in by the deer. I think he still had her.
There's, like, a certain mark, because, you know, Michonne and everybody, they're just... essentially visiting Oceanside right now to help with the training. But people do still live at Oceanside.
Yeah.
So they're...
The
lines
are,
line that
yeah,
we don't
it's
know.
So hard. Yeah, the boundaries. But I was under the impression they were like on the edge. It almost looked like the area where she like showed them originally where the border was. Do you remember that? So I thought they were like right at the edge of theirs. Mm,
okay.
And then she like popped out on hers and then they were like, what's up?
Yeah.
But who knows? Those boundaries are crazy. So.
Yeah.
We'll never get it.
I'd be out and I'd be passing it all the time. I need like flags.
Yes.
Like,
yeah. I need a little like, what
just
are that?
Stay far away. I just
caution
be in the town.
Caution tape, something.
All day.
I need very clear definitions of these borders. Because
I know,
just,
it
like,
always blows my mind when they're like, no, that's a boundary. I'm like, how do you know that?
Yeah.
That tree? Like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah. They must have, I mean, it's been a year and a half. Maybe they've established some kind of
shock collars.
Yeah. Shock collars. Something like that.
Electric fencing.
Yeah. But I'm very excited to see where this standoff between Carol and Alpha go. Because we have been saying for seasons that we want to see more from Carol.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is the season,
oh,
you guys.
It
I
is.
Think so, too.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
You're bringing it.
Yeah.
We're going to get a lot of female power on this season. Just the moments. Think of the moments tonight with Michonne where she just, like, just her on the screen, she absolutely carried it.
She did.
Yeah.
Like, and they're also doing that on purpose just to, like, devastate us even more. But whatever.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any last thoughts on the episode before we get into our special segments?
It's a good one.
Yeah, it was a great one, you guys. It was a great one. Thank you, everybody who's in the chat right now. We are going to move into our special segments. I want to talk about our favorite kill. So we had a lot this episode. Mm-hmm. I want to hear some of yours.
I would say the one where I just said it, the one where Carol slashed the zombie. Insane. And it was... awesome, and at the same time, it was smart.
Yeah.
So
multitasking.
I thought for sure when this happened, I was like, oh, everyone's gonna have the same favorite kill as me. But then there were so many good ones tonight, so I think we'll have different ones. But mine was the first one with the zombie coming out, and then Judith is the one that slashes him in the face
that
with a knife.
Too.
I was like, you are Michonne.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
literally, she had a Michonne knife.
Yeah.
That's what I call it.
I honestly loved the entire opening scene with the ghost ships and the army. Just like every kill of that was fantastic.
I like that. I also like the slow motion scene with Daryl and the two knives. And that was really cool too, because we always see him with the crossbow, and this was a little different. So I like that. Let us know what your favorite kill of the episode was, you guys. We look forward to hearing those. I want to talk about our next special segment, which is a newer one, you guys. We're going to do MVP of the episode. Mm-hmm. So it has to be a unanimous decision on who we thought was the MVP of the episode. We could only have one, you guys. We could only have one.
Okay.
So, who do you guys think we should vote for MVP of the episode?
I'd say Carol.
That's what I want to say.
I guess Carol.
Yeah. I mean, especially at the end, it's like we're leading up for her to be one heck of a character.
Okay.
Like, to me, it's either Carol or Michonne, but I have to lean a little on
and the
Carol.
And then the throat slitting and the fire. Yes. I mean, she killed it this episode.
She did it.
Yeah, literally. Yeah.
After she just came back from a sea trip.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's go with Carol, you guys. Carol's going to be our MVP of the episode. Let us know yours. Thank you, Ryan, in the booth for giving us that wonderful soundbite. And now we've got our top three of the episode, you guys. So it's pretty much top three. We are picking villains of all series, of the entire series of The Walking Dead. And we're doing this only for the first episode, which is tonight. We're doing it for the mid-season finale, plus the actual finale of season 10. So, season 10, what are we doing for?
Okay, so we're doing three of them, like he said. And our first one, we think our biggest villain would be Negan.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And number then, one, yes, we went with the governor for number... Oh, no, we went with Shane for number two.
Yes.
And the governor for number three.
Hashtag never forget.
Yes.
Hashtag never forget.
I'm curious, though. It. We're all curious to see who you guys think. So leave in the comments on YouTube and let us know if you agree or disagree, if you have any different villains, because... We had a lot that ran through our head, but you know you got to narrow them down. So.
Yeah.
There are so many, but like, how do you not choose those three? Yeah.
Well, why did you guys choose Negan? Why did we choose Negan?
Because he's the greatest of all time so far.
Yeah.
He killed like one of the biggest characters like on the show, you know, that people still remember him.
Yeah.
So. That's also his turnaround too. It's like he's still there and he could still do more. We don't know what's going to happen with him. Yeah.
Oh, okay. We'll save it. We'll save it. Save it. Don't forget it, April. Why did you guys pick Shane
is just like he's an OG. he was one of the first like real villains of the show, so
also he got his friend's wife pregnant while his friend was in the hospital, so I mean, not pregnant,
traitor.
but maybe pregnant yeah. we don't even know but yeah, he was sleeping with his best friend's wife while he's in the hospital.
He thought he was dead.
So whatever, still bad. Shane is definitely number two. And number three, the governor. I mean, he was keeping heads in tanks.
Yeah,
so.
He was.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, and he pretty much killed Andrea, which was Michonne's BFF.
He killed Herschel.
I always loved Andrea, by the way. He killed Herschel.
Yeah.
He killed a lot of people.
Oh, Herschel. Yeah.
Yep.
Miss Herschel.
Yeah, so there's a lot. But we gained Tara from the governor, which was nice. But then we lost Tara last season. So,
Everything
comes full circle here on The Walking Dead, you guys.
Yeah.
Let's get into some news and gossip, shall we?
Yes. Cannot wait to talk about this. So, with the premiere of The Walking Dead, we also got a new look at the new series of we don't have a title yet, but of the new Walking Dead series. So, we're going to take a look at it.
It's called Monument Day because we are all monuments to the past.
After the start.
Mm-hmm.
My dad is off laying the groundwork to change the world. To someday, far in the future, get us back to where we were. It may take generations
like
to regain
the purge
our science
But
my father has started the journey for us all.
So I guess things get better?
Yeah, apparently.
Well, it's still the same timeline, though.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
So they just have it
You
better.
Have to have seen enough to know what that means.
Yeah. No, I mean, that was enough, guys. If you want to look it up, go on YouTube.
Yeah.
You can look it up. But it looks really good. And it's definitely giving
where
me...
Where are they held up?
Getting right. Excited.
So,
yeah. It's interesting, it's, like, 10 years after, we're at least 6 years after. Because I know there's a 6 years... So,
well,
like, oh, you're almost there.
The actor who... One of the actors who's on the show, he said that the timeline is the same timeline as the Walking Dead universe.
Okay.
So these guys are in, like, a completely different area, obviously.
They just got it real nice.
They're going to school. They have backpacks.
Right. And so, basically, these kids that you saw, they want to see this new world, and so they're leaving this community that they're in, and they're seeing walkers for like the first time ever.
Yeah,
never seen anything like this before, so I'm excited for
it. That's amazing.
But this next one that we have is pretty exciting. I'm just going to talk about it while we're looking at the video, because it's kind of hard to see, but this was at New York Comic Con.
Mm-hmm.
They're introducing the cast of The Walking Dead, And then they introduce Lauren Cohen and announce that she's going to be in season 11.
So that's what you come back now.
That's going to be exciting.
Was I the only one who was like, season 11? Why not season 10? Why not the second half of season 10? Yeah. I need her back now.
Well, we were speculating that on our preview episode when she was going to come back, if this. But I mean, at least we have all of this.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
I don't like her off on wherever she is writing letters.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited to have her back on season 11, and that just gives us something else to look forward to for next season.
Exactly.
Really? I also love that she was in a Negan outfit.
Yeah. Right?
That was really cool. Yeah. She's like posing as one of the fans. That was kind of cool.
Love
so, yeah, that's all for news and gossip. That was really great news and gossip. Thank you, Benny. Let's get into very, very quick predictions, you guys, because we are short on time.
Now, you're after Buzz TV.
April, I'm going to shoot it over to you really quickly for predictions. And if you can give us some shout-outs as well.
Yes. We have the moment from that Negan and Gabriel were talking, and he's like, it's starting. And he's talking about how at some point, and this is why I thought the moment where Aaron asked Michonne, are we the bad guys?
Yeah.
I think it's foreshadowing of some point, because Negan's like, it's starting. At some point, they start looking at you, and they start thinking, wait, are you bad? Or is this person that's the farmer bad? Yeah. So I think Negan, whether he'll turn out to be like an evil person or not, he's just biding his time. And until something happens, he's gonna I just think he's planning a comeback.
Okay.
Yeah. Cannot see viewer names in chat right now, but y'all, there are a lot of y'all in there, so thank you so much for watching.
Thank you guys.
Thanks guys. I have a prediction that Lydia is going to be the one to take down her mother.
I love that.
I don't see it happening. Or, I mean, Carol would be a really nice way, but I think that's too predictable. I feel like Lydia doing it would give her closure on everything that she... Because they're already bringing up her past that she can't read. And you said it yourself, Chris, in this episode. You know, Alpha didn't teach her how to read.
Yeah,
so I just think that Lydia might be the one to take down her mother in the Alpha group.
Those are great predictions.
I think we're going to see some big things from Rosita also. Mm. I think this season is going to be like her time to shine.
Yeah.
So I love that. Yeah,
me too.
Krista, anything?
Yeah, no, I agree with all of you guys.
Yeah.
Think, I mean, we're definitely going to lose Michonne, as we know. But
we know that. Yep.
I think they're going to kill her off.
Oh, here we go. Boy. Eric Erwin, Kelsey Walsh, Jelen Vlogs, DG, everybody in chat.
There you
go. It popped up.
Thank
right
you guys.
In the last minute. Thank y'all for joining us.
Some technical difficulties, but thank you, April, for that. Awesome. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to our episode one review of season 10. We are back, you guys. We will be back next week. Let our fans know where they can find you guys.
Hey guys, you can find me all over social media at Krista Flungy.
Y'all can find me everywhere at April with some hand.
And you guys can find me on all social media at Benny J. Adams.
Look me up, guys. I'm at Timothy Mike, if I can remember my own screen handle. We'll see you guys next week, same time on Mondays at 8.
See you guys later.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.